From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you. Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in my sand, just dreaming, sitting.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of August, 2015.
You have an incoming transmission.
The Jews came and broke your heart.
Because the revolution will not be televised.
The voice of news information has six.
The purpose of this program is to bring vital news.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
He is the most interesting man in the world.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
To our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States, I am co-host and associate producer Terry Weeks.
I am sure. Totally.
And hello, Florida. Welcome back to the land of the sun when no longer in Seattle. I am Chelsea Rebecca Kingsford. It's going to be an amazing show. Please stand by.
There's something schooly around here. Could be you, Doc.
Okay, on Spectrum 360 in this edition for Monday, the 10th of August, 2015. Focus of this program is politics and a remembrance of a deceased doctor. I will explain. Segment 1, live in studio, Spectrum 360 book review in brief. I will speak briefly about the extraordinary book that I got just today, JFK, Absolute Proof, New Evidence of in the Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. This is a part of, actually part 3 of the Killing of a President series of books by Robert J. Groden. This is a must-have book for patriots. We'll talk more about it briefly. And we'll have a lot more about this book on next week's program. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be great. Remember, Robert J. Groden was the guest on Spectrum 360 in November 2013 on the 50th anniversary of the assassination for the entire hour. It's probably the best Spectrum 360 that there has ever been. So stay tuned for that. And then segment two, live in studio, Spectrum 360 interview with Amos Mears. Amos Mears is a political activist in the Spectrum or in the Tampa Bay area in Florida, and was an activist in 2012 during the period of time that preceded the Republican National Convention. And during the Republican National Convention itself in August of 2012 in Tampa, Florida. Recently, the Tampa Bay Times newspaper published an article revealing that law enforcement agencies in the Tampa Bay area and also other agencies placed undercover personnel in so-called leadership positions in organizations that were present in the Tampa Bay area to demonstrate against the Republican National Convention and the values in the organizations it was associated with. Amos Mears was interviewed by WMNF News Director Rob Lori on the Radioactivity Public Affairs Program on the local community radio station WMNF on Thursday, the 6th of August, 2015, just last week, regarding his perspective on the Tampa Bay Times article. Spectrum 360 will discuss the newspaper article, Amos's radio interview, and the issues related to the RNC law enforcement and constitutional rights of free speech and redress of grievances with Amos Mears and the Spectrum 360 staff, including myself, co-host Terry Weeks, and commentator Chelsea Kingsford. Very good. That's going to be great. We're really looking forward to that. Amos Mears is a special guest on this program. Then segment three, recorded the Jim Hightower commentary for this program regarding the big banks and their relationship to the laws that govern them. Interesting and very topical. Listen to that.
I'll tell you how to stop the nonstop crime spree by big banks today on Hightower Radio.
Yes, that's coming up. Then segment four, live in studio, Spectrum 360 remembrance of St. Petersburg Doctor of Chiropractic, Dr. Kyle Remmel, who died recently. Spectrum 360 will pause briefly to memorialize the good doctor and good man that was Dr. Kyle Remmel. And then segment five, the final segment for Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of August, 2015, recorded the speech by Bernie Sanders to about 3,500 meetings of campaign supporters attended by about 100,000 people that was streamed live on the internet on Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2015, all across the country. Spectrum 360 has the audio of the speech, and this is part two of the speech audio that we started to broadcast on last week's program. We'll have another segment for that for you. Enjoy. There is a political movement and maybe even a political revolution happening here, folks. Yes, you heard it right. A political revolution, possibly. Peaceful, of course. Get informed and stay informed.
Join me now in welcoming our candidate for President of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders. Woo!
And then on next week's Spectrum 360, another part of the Janet Long speech. We'll finish up with the last part of the Bernie Sanders speech, I believe. We're not sure about that yet. That may change. And then other segments as well. We'll be speaking at length about the Robert Groden book, JFK, Absolute Proof. And Chelsea Kingsford will also have a segment about the murder of transsexual women. That's going to be an important segment that we'll have on the program next week. So that's some of the segments that we're going to be covering on next week's Spectrum 360. But now we're ready for this program, and the first segment will start in just a moment.
If you'd like Jim Hightower's real populism, check out the Hightower Lowdown. Jim's monthly newsletter gives you the real lowdown on which corporations, by name, are doing what to the middle class, our environment, and our democracy. Each month, the Hightower Lowdown brings you facts you didn't know, along with actions you can take to fight back. It also comes with a sense of humor. Hightower believes we can fight the gods and still have fun. Plus, get this, it's cheap. Only $15 brings you 12 issues a year. For real populism, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
You can be amazing. A phrase into a weapon or a drug. You can be the outcast or be the backlash of somebody's lack of love. Or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle beneath your skin. Kept on the inside and no sunlight. Sometimes a shadow wins. But I wonder what would happen if you said
And remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook at Spectrum 360 Radio Program. And also remember the Spectrum 360 Podcast. Go to internetradiopros.com, scroll down to the Spectrum 360 link, click on it, and choose the program date of your choice. Listen to Spectrum 360. Okay, segment one is the book review in brief about the new book that I just received today and spent a little bit of time with. I didn't have very much time because it's a very busy day on Mondays doing final production for Spectrum 360, which broadcasts weekly every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern time for 1 hour. And of course, that makes it a very busy day. But I did receive the book and look at it just a little bit, enough that I wanted to mention it on this segment before we get to our main segment tonight with the interview with Amos Mears. The book, is JFK Absolute Proof by the great Kennedy assassination researcher and author Robert J. Groden, who has a long history of being involved in this topic, especially since on his birthday, his 18th birthday, which was 22 November 1963, Kennedy was assassinated on his 18th birthday, and he instantly became an activist and has been going for all the way from age 18, and he's now age 69. He's been a Kennedy assassination researcher for all that time, one of the very best, and has been an hour-long guest in this program. That was probably the best Spectrum 360 program that there ever has been. So I highly recommend the book. You can get it from Conspiracy Publications directly. You can also get it on Amazon.com. It's not a cheap book because it's so high quality. It's about $75, depending how you get it. You can get it autographed by the author, Robert J. Groden, and it's a fantastic book. And you're talking to a person who's read a lot of history books, owns a large book collection, and this is one of the best books I've ever seen of any kind in terms of history, and probably the best book now on the Kennedy assassination. Fantastic information. I've been a Kennedy assassination researcher for 23 years, and there's information that I have never seen that is in this book. Astounding. Highly recommended. We'll have a longer segment on the program next week about JFK Absolute Proof. So that's going to be a great treat. Look forward to next week's program to find out more information about that book.
It is our duty to fight!
Now to segment two. That's our live in studio interview with Amos Mears. And I want to welcome Amos to the program with just a little bit of music.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Singing. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
I hope this will put him at ease.
That's right.
Okay, I welcome Amos Mears to Spectrum 360 for the first time in studio. Amos Mears, welcome to the program.
Thank you. You're too kind.
Well, I try to be.
Yeah.
So anyway, Amos Mears, he's a political activist in the Tampa Bay area here in Florida. Was an activist in 2012, as I stated before in the introduction to this segment. And during the period of time that preceded the Republican National Convention, and during the Republican National Convention itself in August of 2012 here in Tampa, Florida, he was very involved in the protest movements that were protesting the RNC and issues related to that as well. Now, notification of full disclosure, as well as being the executive producer, host, and senior field reporter for Spectrum 360, I am also a political activist that precedes by decades my becoming a journalist, a citizen journalist, and then journalist here on Spectrum 360. And I was also involved as an activist and as media in the protest movements that were involved in welcoming the RNC to town. So we're going to turn the program over to Amos. Amos, I want you to just elucidate a little bit about what organizations you were affiliated with, what your role was, and we'll start the interview that way and go from there.
Well, I started off in Occupy Tampa
And get very close to your mic. Perfect. Very good.
Yeah, I started off, I dove right into Occupy Tampa when that kicked off. And, you know, as the RNC started getting talked about more and more, that became, it started to get my attention. And so I started putting my focus into the RNC. And people I met at Occupy Tampa We then started working together to then start to plan and organize for the RNC, and then that's how I got invited into a larger group that had been planning actually a year before I even got involved. And it turned out that as we got closer to it, the groups grew, collapsed, reformed.
There was a whole process then where people were affiliating and non-affiliating and changing and working between groups and sometimes not between groups, correct?
Correct. And a lot of it had to do actually with, even before I got involved, the threat of the infiltration by the police, believe it or not. So that was, before I even got involved in Occupy Tampa, that was already a concern for the veteran activists. So it did place a lot of fear right from the get-go in how to organize correctly and how to do it successfully. So as we got closer to it, I ended up, we formed a group called Resist RNC, and our job was to create the platform in which protesters and demonstrators across the country can start to integrate into Tampa and be successful to get their message out. And we found ourselves spending a lot of time working in city council to fight the RNC ordinance. We found ourselves on the radio fighting the propaganda that that the authorities were putting out. There was a lot of information being pushed through mainstream media that I'm finding out now they're doing the same thing in Cleveland. They're boilerplate type scripts, and we were addressing a lot of those issues ongoing up into the RNC, and then of course during the RNC itself. Working with Bruce Wright and other really great activists, we had a safe place that protesters could then organize from, have a safe place to sleep, food, water, restrooms, etc.
Where was this located?
We called it Romneyville, and it was located on a property of Army Surplus Store in downtown Tampa, right in the militarized zone that was. Basically, the whole area downtown was stripped of all rights. Anything you did downtown during that time can be considered illegal. So the cops actually had the ability to arrest anybody at any time for any reason. There was no such thing as rights during that period of time.
And there were very many law enforcement officers present at that time.
And Cherry, do you have a disclosure to make?
I do, yes. I too was involved as an activist organizing against to protest at the RNC, and have been an activist for some time.
Now, Amos, what was the relationship of Resist RNC to the RNC Welcoming Committee, which I worked with?
The RNC Welcome Committee, can you describe that a little bit more? Because I know that there was a couple groups that had names prior to me getting involved.
Well, the RNC Welcoming Committee was originally conceived as an umbrella organization, a coalition organization to welcome protest groups to the area and organize them, and then to provide kind of a general welcoming function, and then also participate as a protest organization too once the RNC started. And they did both functions. There was a lot of people involved in that, and sometimes the lines got blurred, I think, between Resist RNC, the RNC Welcoming Committee, and Occupy Tampa, Occupy St. Pete, and other groups too, because so many different groups got involved, and some people were involved, like I was, in multiple groups. So it got a little bit confused as to who was with what group, but everybody was working together for the one goal of protesting what was happening at the RNC, the things that we disagreed with, a redress of grievances, free speech to address the issues that we thought needed to be addressed. So, and these things did take different forms over time. People formed alliances, stopped alliances, etc., as you said before. So that was my perspective on it. I was primarily involved in the RNC Welcoming Committee, and just basically as media, although I considered myself an activist as well at that time, because I was basically a citizen journalist back in 2011, 2012.
Yeah, you provide a lot of good support for us, and not only that, on Romneyville, you even provided audio. You allowed us to put on a really big concert that was one of the highlights of Romneyville, I think, over those 4 days. It was a much-needed release of tension.
I remember it well. That was the longest concert that I've ever mixed sound for by myself. 9 straight hours without a break, and it was a 14-hour day total. That was a 9-hour concert. I went straight through with no breaks. Unbelievable.
It was a great concert too. So many different musicians and different artists up there, very different styles. It was fantastic.
Oh yeah, Crown, Fall on Purpose. We staged an entire play. There was a recitation of an entire play about Wall Street that was a comedy that was very funny. There were itinerant performers that played folk music. Crown Dion, the local rap artist, he played. And then, his name escapes me right now, but the very well-known blues guitarist in the area. Do you remember his name, Terry?
Oh, I don't. And I should. And I probably will as soon as the show's over.
Yeah. You can probably find it on Facebook. It was a great variety of people. I heard that the police even liked the music at the concert, which is very gratifying to me. I thought that was cool. They liked the music.
I didn't hear that. That's great.
Yeah.
There's another group I like to bring up, I knew it as the St. Pete RNC Coalition. That's where I worked with both you, Mark and Terry, and a lot of great community activists in St. Pete. And I think that was one of our most successful groups. And that whole point to that group was to address the RNC ordinance that was also being passed in St. Pete, so that for one night prior to the event starting, so before those 4 days, the night before, they were going to have a big party at the Trop. And so St. Pete wanted to pass as well an RNC ordinance to strip rights in that area. And with that group, I met a lot of great people that have been in St. Pete a long time, and I've got to continue to work with them till today even. And we were able to speak with every single St. Pete council person about these issues. Unfortunately, only two voted against the RNC ordinance, but I found that St. Pete government actually allowed us to have discussions about these things, where in Tampa, I didn't have a single response from a council person or the mayor to any request for meetings, return for phone calls, anything. Only thing we could do is speak openly in the
city council chambers?
Yeah, in the city council chambers, I can't remember what they call it, open forum about the RNC ordinance. But in St. Pete, we actually had a lot more interaction. Unfortunately, they still passed it there as well. But I really appreciate working with the St. Pete RNC Coalition to address those things. There's a lot of great activists in St. Pete.
Yeah, and there were so many ridiculous things about that ordinance. Basically, they declared a police state, so they had the legal basis to arrest people for just ordinary acts that are illegal.
Yeah. They had a long list of things that people would not be allowed to have in their possession if they were in the zone, including like water bottles,
light bulbs
in the summer,
any kind of containers that were empty that had air in them,
umbrellas, my office
rope,
at that
chain.
Time,
you could not put a ladder on a building, and you could not climb a tree. Tree climbing and putting ladders on walls was illegal in St. Petersburg for a period of 2 weeks by statute. And this is just the highlights of the ridiculous things that were...
My office was in the zone where the so-called contraband was prohibited. I'm glad it didn't rain. I guess they would have arrested me for carrying an umbrella.
Well, you could have been arrested for all those things. Even possessing a light bulb was illegal at that time. So I don't know, people that went to grocery stores and unaware of the ordinance and bought light bulbs, they were in technical violation of the law. So it's crazy.
And what that comes down to is the Secret Service and other federal agencies, I think, really threw a scare into Tampa, local government in both Tampa and St. Pete.
And Amos, address that issue right there that Terry just raised, especially as it relates to the Secret Service and the meetings that we had or did not have with the Secret Service.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring up.
And stay close to your mic, Amos.
So I was attending, I can't remember exactly what meeting it was, but it was just some kind of community meeting about the Edge District. There was a council member there in that meeting. She wasn't there as a council person. She was just there as a community member. And
I think, was that Leslie?
Leslie Curran.
Leslie Curran, excuse me.
Who actually has a business in that district, so.
And inadvertently, through somehow, RNC came up at that meeting, and she mentioned that there's a Secret Service meeting happening where they are addressing residents, and that they're telling residents that, because there's a couple of apartment complexes around the Tropicana Stadium, and to protect the candidates, they were talking about removing those residents from their homes for the party, the day of that party. So out of direction from the council member stating that she, in fact, was informed by Secret Service that they were going to remove these people, and they're having meetings on it. We then went to that meeting when it was supposed to take place. However, when we got there, they canceled the meeting. It might have been partly because me and another activist flyered the entire neighborhood with letters stating there's a Secret Service meeting talking about kicking you out of your homes.
Yes, that was a great job, by the way, on that.
So they canceled that meeting, and they postponed it for a few hours, and we came back to that meeting, and it was clear after a few minutes into that meeting that that meeting was a setup just for us.
And that we were not able to attend the Secret Service meeting that they had with the St. Petersburg City Council. That was a separate meeting that we wanted to attend that we never were able to attend because apparently they held it secret, which apparently, wouldn't that be a violation of sunshine law? I don't know.
Well, one of the
National
things,
security.
The council members in St. Pete did let me know, of course, no contact with Tampa City Council, but in St. Pete, we were told that the Secret Service were scaring them, telling them a lot of stories about what's coming to their town to get them to pass this ordinance.
Of course, scare tactics.
One of the things that they had at this Secret Service meeting was symbols of what they look out for. And it was kind of funny because we're in Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's a pirate town, Gasparilla. One of the symbols that they look out for for people that are looking for trouble are the crossbones, skull and crossbones, yeah. The pirate flag.
Yeah. Watch out for those violent Bucks fans.
Well, it was interesting, the comment by one of the Tampa Police Department personnel that there were less people arrested at the RNC than in a typical fourth quarter of a Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game. I thought that was a very interesting and telling comment about how little violence and little trouble there was at the convention.
Amos, I know this might be jumping ahead, but you were talking to Terry and I out in the hallway and about preparing for today,
mm-hmm.
and what you went through. That this event happened a while back, and mm-hmm. you thought that it made it through your system. Could you share that? Would you mind sharing some of that? Because I think that's something really neat to know, that even when you're actively doing something, it can still passionately get you.
Yes, definitely. After the RNC was over, partly from the person that was associated with me that we found out later was at the very least an agent provocateur, it hurt my relationship with almost every activist in the area, every group. And when the RNC was over, I had planned on continuing to do good work, and I was left with, it kind of just ended, and everything just kind of abruptly ended. And at that time, I'd been going full steam ahead in the moment, and then once everything stopped, I realized the toll it took on me emotionally, and I was going through a lot of emotional problems, and I later realized that it was the symptoms were PTSD related. And I talked to another veteran activist that said, yes, there are a lot of activists that suffer from emotional trauma from events like this, and I got through that, and it's been 3 years now since the RNC. And even doing the radio interview with WMNF and the Times interview, didn't really. I was able to talk about it. It was fine. I felt good. Today, doing a little more homework on some things. I started looking up some of the names of my fellow activists that looked at the Tampa Six that got arrested October 21st, 2011. And nationally, there was a coordination between Occupy where there was arrests across the nation, and all was coordinated. And when I looked at their names, that brought a flood of emotions back. Talking about the threat of being set up by the FBI, that didn't bother me, even though that's the scarier issue. What bothered me was realizing the toll it took, the reaction from just the names of my fellow activists. That brought back the emotions, because there's a bond that we all share. We were all dealing with a lot of things, and it's serious issues. Even though we're talking about equality, saving the planet. We're not talking about anything illegal or dangerous. We're talking about
peace and prosperity,
exactly.
Racial equality, income equality.
So that we're targeted for standing up for these issues is insane, really. But seeing the names, remembering the names of the people that we started this whole thing with, brought back, reminded me of the toll it takes on activists.
Okay, we're going to take a brief break for about a minute and a half here on Spectrum 360. We'll be back with another segment with Amos Mears in just a moment.
I'd like to tell my Spectrum 360 listeners about my friends at Ocean 6. Ocean 6 is a company that provides a variety of high-quality packaged seafood, chicken, pork, and beef products, frozen, and delivered directly to the front door of your residence. It doesn't get any easier than that. The food is great, the service is excellent, and I am a customer of Ocean 6 myself. Lately, I've been enjoying using their seafood products, especially my favorites, the jumbo shrimp and the shrimp scampi. Good. To get yours, you can call the same man who provides Ocean 6 products for my family. His name is Mark, like myself, and you can call him at 727-623-8015. That's 727-623-8015. The Ocean 6 website is ocean6.net. Again, that's ocean6.net. Get it? .net. Like the net where that wonderful Ocean 6 seafood comes from. Call or click today and get yours.
It's coming to America first. The cradle of the best of the worst. It's here they got the range and the machinery for change. And it's here they got the spiritual thirst. It's here the family is broken, and it's here the lonely say that the heart has got to open in a fundamental way. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Okay, we're back with Amos Mears in our interview on Spectrum 360 with this great activist here in the Tampa Bay area. Amos, continue with your thoughts there about PTSD and the aftermath of the RNC.
Well,
did you cover that well enough?
I think I did.
Okay.
I'd like to backtrack for a minute because some of the emotional trauma that Amos suffered was due to this this agent provocateur, this individual that was involved. And there was an article recently in the St. Pete Times, I guess Tampa law enforcement was very proudly saying that they'd managed to infiltrate and assume leadership positions in all of the protest groups, and they seemed very, very smugly patting themselves on the back there. And that isn't exactly what happened, is it?
No. There was a lot of damage done by those undercover authorities. There was a lot of... Unfortunately, because we don't know who is who, and we know that they're among us, everyone's pointing the finger at each other. They're suspecting each other. They don't know who to trust. And for me, it was especially hard because I came into this very new, didn't know anybody. And actually, a lot of people came to it very, very new. During Occupy Tampa, or Occupy Across the Nation, it was a rebirth of resistance that had, you know, so a lot of us met each other for the first time. There were other veterans, of course, that did know each other, and they did have networks of friends they can count on. But for the rest of us, it was a very... it was like walking through a minefield. You weren't sure who to trust and what was gonna, you know, what you were walking into, and that did take a toll. And a lot of people were scared. They were run off from the movement. It prevented a lot of successful organizing for actual, you know, accomplishing social issues. It prevented a solid team to bring in people from across the country to protest the RNC. So. You know, when the authorities claim they were successful because they had control of everything, well, they just tamped out dissent. They cracked down on it. They made it go away. If they call that a success, then they're fascists.
Yes, and I have a couple comments to make about that Tampa Bay Times article. I'm going to start with a musical response right now, and then I'll have another comment. And the reason I played that is because in the interview that Rob Laurie conducted with you on Radioactivity on WMNF last week on Thursday, you stated at one point that you never saw anybody disgusting, doing anything illegal. And I want to, and that's your remembrance of that, and I'm sure that's accurate. I experienced an incident and had a different experience, which I want to address now, because you basically said that you didn't see anybody suggesting any illegal activity. Well, I witnessed an incident. We were at a meeting of one of the groups, and we were organizing for the RNC. This was either June or July, if I'm remembering correctly, of 2012. On Central Avenue, at a location where we had been using for meetings. And there was a person there who I will refer to as Informer One. I will not use this person's name, but I'm going to refer to them as Informer One or IAPO1. And what that stands for is Informer slash Agent Provocateur slash Officer, because we don't know exactly what he was or who he was affiliated with. We do know that he worked with law enforcement or was law enforcement, one of the two, or possibly both. I'm not going to use that person's name, but we'll refer to him for this conversation as Informer One. And we were having a meeting, and people were by this time paranoid, and there were several people there, probably about 10 people. And I was there attending as media and organizing, and we all turned in our cell phones to put them in a box and took them away so that nobody could record the meeting or anything like that or could be tracked. And then Informer One, we started the meeting. Informer One took a chair and sat halfway between the table that the meeting was organized around in the middle of the room and halfway between the doorway to the outside of the building, and then just stayed there. And part of the way through the meeting, about halfway through the meeting, Informer One started talking about actions that he wanted to do, because we're all discussing actions that we wanted to do during the RNC. And he was the only person during this entire period of time related to before or during the RNC that I saw or heard, I'm a direct ear and eyewitness to this, that suggested illegal activity in a serious way. And what this person suggested was making gasoline bombs, i.e. Molotov cocktails, and also doing other actions like taking vehicles and crashing barriers and that kind of thing, just generally causing trouble, and it definitely doing illegal acts. And no one at all in the group at the meeting responded to him to him at all verbally. Some people looked over at him like he was crazy. I did. I said, thinking, are you nuts? No one is advocating for these actions to happen. No one's going to do that, and we're not going to discuss this. And we totally disregarded him. Some people gave him dirty looks because we wanted to have nothing to do with that. And it was the only time during this entire period when I heard somebody suggesting illegal acts. And this was from Informer One.
And that's a very common pattern with infiltrators. They will try and push people to go further, to be more radical.
Yeah, to bait people.
To bait people, to do something illegal so they can arrest them. And unfortunately, in several cities, people have taken the bait and let themselves be pushed into doing things. Really, it's almost entrapment that happens with these people. We're fortunate in our group. Nobody did take the bait. Nobody was interested in what he was trying to push people into doing.
There's
that's
one.
Right. That's right. That's right.
one thing I believe that and I think it was important for this person that you're referring to, for me not to hear him talking like that, because I was his partner and I helped give credibility to the place that he was using to bring people to do these things. So if I heard those things openly versus somebody telling me something that would be potentially a rumor, it would be a much different situation. So I think it was important for this person not to let me hear those things. One thing that he did do, and I see it in hindsight, at the time I didn't realize it. When I would speak at city council, when I would work on the website, I wanted to appear to be asserting our rights as free people, and I think some of those things were pushed a little bit beyond to be ambiguous with his instruction, which I would read and understand what they meant. However, because they were pushed into an ambiguous tone, then this person can go to the other side and say, hey, look, they're planning these things. There's something going on here. And I think that...
Yeah, they were planning a pretext and then exaggerating.
Exactly. So there was a lot of that manipulation going on, and I did feel fall victim to some of those activities. However, it never did cross into anything that was even borderline, of course.
And, And you did say in your WMNF interview that you never heard any of this personally from this person, although this informer one did admit to you approximately a week before the RNC started that this person was law enforcement. Am I understanding that correctly?
Oh, that's a different individual. That was an early in Occupy that somebody had actually on the phone admitted to being an officer, and that person didn't get far into the movement. A few months in, he was already out of the picture.
So this was not the person that we've been referring to as Informer One. That was someone else?
No, he never admitted anything to me. I called him out a week before the RNC, and I did ask him who he worked for, and instead he distracted and deflected to point out another activist is working with Secret Service. That was his answer.
Which was very, very typical. He didn't succeed in getting anyone to commit violent acts or legal acts, but what he was very good at doing is sowing doubt and suspicion amongst everyone and turning people against each other. He sowed a lot of dissension.
But that's all he really achieved was just causing trouble interpersonally between people. And he did degrade the organization of some events and stuff. So, but that's about the only thing that this person achieved was just causing a little bit of dissension and disorganization. And there was only one action that I know this person was instrumental in preventing, and that was just a concert. So the actions were largely ineffective. And for me, the tragedy of this and what aggravates me about this is the huge waste of resources. There was a huge amount of money spent on bringing 3,000 plus police officers to town. And then they had nothing to do because there was no violence, or essentially no violence, almost no arrests and no confrontations. But there is one thing I want to say positive about the police. We've criticized the Tampa Police Department for this claim to having great success with undercover operatives, which I largely refute. And then, the huge waste of resources for police officers that weren't necessary and upsetting people with this police statism. The one positive thing that they did do is what I started to call after the RNC the Tampa model. And that was the way the police interacted with demonstrators that were conducting unpermitted marches. Now, an unpermitted march is just exactly that. That's a group of individuals marching in the street without a permit. They don't have permission from the city government to do that, but they take an action anyway and do a march nonviolently, peacefully, without any property damage or vandalism or anything, just simply a march. And what the police did do right, in my opinion, was the fact that they did not prevent unpermitted marches. What they did is manage them so that everyone was safe. The police, the demonstrators, property owners, attendees of the convention, everyone was kept safe, and it was managed in a way where everyone was kept safe in that way. And sometimes there were intersections that are occupied, and there were no arrests because of that, because there's really no need for that. Just people expressing, exercising their free speech rights and expressing themselves. And I thought that was the one very positive, great things. And what I saw after that, because I also went to Charlotte for the Democratic National Convention, I saw the Tampa model replicated by the Charlotte, North Carolina Police Department. And that was great. They did the same thing in Charlotte, North Carolina. They just managed the demonstrations, did not prevent them, and they did not arrest the people for just exercising their free speech rights, even though the marches were unpermitted. Your thoughts, everyone?
Two questions for you, because like you said, you've heard me on the show, which is awesome, and you know like how I think. Why do you do what you do, and what are you working on now to actually help bring radical change to those that are born that just deserve to be humans? And so, but why do you do what you do? Like, what moves you so deeply to get PTSD, to have your name slurred? And
PTSD
beat up a little place and go to bed at night and go, was it worth it? What's going on?
He's a patriot.
I really don't know the correct true answer to that. I think it's a large part of my parents and family teaching me right from wrong. Mm-hmm. They didn't teach me anything about politics or anything in those regards, but they taught me right from wrong. And the more I learn, the more I read, and the more I dive into these issues and find out how serious they are, I just can't ignore them. you know, so my young life, I didn't do any of these, you know, any activism. I'm 38 now. You know, I've only been involved in the last several years. However, I've always been, you know, researching, reading, trying to understand and yelling at the TV, you know, and then,
yeah, I
you know,
do that too. Yeah. I think we all do.
But the stakes are higher. We have, you know, climate change affecting our planet. We have wealth inequality it's affecting the sovereignty of our nation. People are dying just for being black. I can't ignore them, and I don't know the reason for that. I don't know if I'm wired differently. I don't have a rational response, because I would think everyone, if they're just doing what they should be doing in their own circles, everything would be okay. So that means that fewer people have to do a lot more work. So
at the 80-20 that you have on churches, you know, 20% is doing like 80% of the work.
The 80-20 rule.
You know, and there are a lot of people doing good work, and we need more people. And so what I'm doing now is I'm involved in the Bernie Sanders campaign. He's one person that, and I have never backed a candidate. You know, I'm one of those people speaking out against all the politicians.
So it's quite something for you to be involved like this, because this is unprecedented in your life, correct?
Absolutely. I protested the RNC because it was in Tampa. If the DNC was here, I'd be protesting that too. And I've learned a lot in the last 3 years, and I understand why. If Bernie Sanders was running in 2012, I probably would have been, you know, talking about why is he running as a Democrat? We need a third party. But I listened to a speech of his in 81 or 82 talking about the need for a third party and talking about Democrats. And all these years later, still nothing. So I think he understands why he needs to run as a Democrat. And I understand why he needs to run as a Democrat. I'm now registered as a Democrat so I can vote for him in the primaries. And I'm actively campaigning for him because he's the one person that I see up there running for president that we can count on. And there's a lot of people that are fed up with electoral politics that are actually campaigning with me.
That's great. Yeah. And just to reiterate a notification of full disclosure, this is Mark Skogman and also Terry Weeks and Chelsea Kingsford. Basically, every person that's speaking on this program has declared support for Bernie Sanders for president. So notification of full disclosure, we're all Bernie supporters on this program. And we want everyone to know that so they can make their own judgment on what they think of the coverage of the campaigns, et cetera.
Mark, can I put my spin on the Tampa model you had mentioned?
Yes, absolutely.
And of course, it's my personal opinion. You know, what I see is a Tampa model that you know looks like they allowed us to do whatever we did and didn't interfere with us. We did of course claim and when they created their little parades or routes and say we need a permit, we refuted that and said, no, we're going to march where we want to march because we're asserting our, you know, right to free speech and right to assemble. And yes, you're right. They let us walk all over the downtown. Well, they didn't let us walk all over downtown. We couldn't get anywhere near the convention center.
Well, except for the designated, quote, free speech zone, unquote, which we did go into on Thursday night, the last night of the convention, for a short period of time with a small number of people. Yeah, but
it
that was the only
empty.
Exception.
That area, the free speech zone was largely empty. And I did,
no,
I did
it was a wasteland.
Yeah, and I did ask, I requested Mayor Bob Buckhorn put on a free speech event rather than militarizing that zone and actually focusing the energy in the protests and actually becoming a beacon for democracy. And of course, he never did respond. but the Tampa model, there's a good reason why they let us march everywhere we went. Typically in protest movements, in events like this, the cops are very largely outnumbered. That's why they have all the weapons and gear they have, because they want to control a large amount of people. And a lot of times they spur on a riot. And the reason that they allowed us to do what we did in Tampa was because there were only hundreds of protesters versus thousands of cops. So it would have been a PR nightmare if they would have contained us on Romneyville, for instance. So the Tampa model is scare everyone from coming, infiltrate all the groups from organizing, have no one show up, and then let them do what they want, and we'll contain them. So I think that the Tampa model is not as friendly sounding to me as it might be to others.
Understood, and I think that's a very valid point. We have to end this segment now. Amos, we are going to have you back sometime very soon for another continuation of this discussion, because this, I mean, we've gone probably twice as long as I intended on this segment, and there's still so much to discuss. So we'll definitely be...
And we're coming up on another convention season, so these
right.
issues
so
will pop up again.
We will have Amos back for another interview and continue this discussion on another program. We've got to end the discussion, this segment right now. We're going to try to get a couple more segments in. We're running way late on this program. We'll be back in just a moment with a brief remembrance of Dr. Remmel right after this.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Terry?
Yes. Dr. Kyle Remmel died on April 9th, 2015. And this announcement's coming so late because we only recently heard the news. His death was quite sudden and unexpected. Dr. Remmel was a chiropractic physician who was originally from Pennsylvania. He moved to St. Petersburg in 1977, began his chiropractic career in 1981. Dr. Remmel was also one of the founders of the internet radio station Rhino on Air, where he hosted a program called Medical Matters. He was a member of the crew of the Conquistadors of Tampa Bay, which served several charities, especially All Children's Hospital.
And as part of Gasparilla.
The part of the Gasparilla cruise and the parade and the bead throwing. Mark and I were both patients of Dr. Remmel, and we can attest to his skill and his knowledge. And although our relationship was only professional, in a sense, we really both considered him a friend. And I know that we're both going to miss visiting him in his office and discussing things like politics and events in the city of St. Petersburg, in which he took a really keen interest. Dr. Remmel survived by his three grown children, his son Eric, and two daughters, Ashley and Tasha, and also by a very sweet golden retriever named Holly, whom he used to bring to the office. So our prayers and best wishes do go out to his family, and rest in peace, Dr. Remmel, you will be missed.
And yes, he was an excellent chiropractic physician. I was involved in multiple car accidents, and due to his treatment, I've gotten excellent treatment from him and made an amazing recovery to very close to what my physical state was before the accident. Although I have some ongoing minor problems, he was a near miracle worker with me with the advanced laser treatments, everything. He's a great doctor, great chiropractic physician, and a very good human being as well, and he will definitely be missed. Here's the Jim Hightower commentary for this week.
Big story from that razzle-dazzle place called El Casino Grande, otherwise known as Wall Street. Four massive financial conglomerates, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Barclays, and the Royal Bank of Scotland, have been caught in a criminal conspiracy to rig the global currency market. Bank regulators have now slapped them with an equally massive fine, totaling $5.4 billion. The financial felons coordinated their illegal currency manipulation scheme through online chat rooms with devil-may-care names like the Cartel and the Mafia. The bank's culture of greed led to such a reckless arrogance that one of Barclays' price fixers offered this bit of ethical encouragement to his chat room pals: "If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying." Well, taking a $5 billion hit will put an end to that sort of reprobate banksterism, won't it? No. While this was the first time that banks themselves had to admit that they are corporate criminals, all of them are free to continue doing currency trading, and no top executives were even charged for the crimes they oversaw. And while $5 billion is a huge record-level criminal penalty, it's easily absorbed by these global casino operations. In the first 3 months of this year, for example, J.P. Morgan Chase raked in $4 billion just from its fixed income and currency trading division, about seven times its share of the penalty levied against the four corporate crooks. This is Jim Hightower saying Citigroup CEO called the punishment, quote, an embarrassment to his bank. But banks can't feel embarrassed, nor can they commit crimes. Only bankers can. And, as should be obvious by now, being embarrassed is no deterrent at all to their endlessly creative criminality. If we actually want to stop their crimes, the banksters themselves must feel the punishment.
Okay, that completes Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 10th of August, 2015. We've got about 1 minute for final thoughts. Amos and staff, your final thoughts for this program.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for being here, Amos. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, people. Thank you for listening. Go love somebody. Love's an action word. It's not a gushy feeling. Be kind. It's not an action word. Because if you can't love, then what are you doing anything? Why are you doing anything? Go love somebody.
And lock up the bankers, break up the banks, and bring back Glass-Steagall.
Amos, your final thoughts, 30 seconds.
Well, I'd like to thank you for having me, and I want to speak to all the activists out there on all the various issues fighting for all the things that we believe in, all those good causes. Don't give up the fight. Keep doing what you're doing. We're all working together, and you know, speaking out when we need to on radio shows like this is very important, but keep up the good work.
Great. Thank you, Amos. And remember, next week, we'll try to get back to the Bernie Sanders speech. We had to eliminate that segment to get on schedule here to end this program. We'll have Bernie Sanders next week, the Grodin book, JFK Absolute Proof, and more on Spectrum 360.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.